Hi everyone, it's 2 o'clock. Let's start. Welcome and thank you for coming to the public meeting. My name is Pamela Soon and I'll be chairing the meeting today. The other panel members are Marjorie Ferguson and Fiona Gainsford, both are expert members, and Dominic Pisano, a community member. Today we have four items on the agenda. Number one is 75 to 100 Argyle Street, Camden. Number two, 3 Exeter Street, Camden. Number three, 19 Queen Street, Norellan. And number four, 45 Southwell Road, 45 Brenham Drive, and 600 J, the Northern Road, Oran Park. At this meeting, we have speakers for item one. Therefore, after the last speaker for item one has finished, I will close the meeting. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge that this meeting is being held on the traditional lands and waterways of the Darawal people and also recognize the surrounding Darug and Gundagara people. I pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people here today. Declaration of interest. Panel members, do you have any conflicts to disclose?
Not for me, thanks, Chair.
No.
I don't have any either, so the panel does not have any conflicts to disclose. A couple of housekeeping matters. This meeting is being audio recorded by council staff, and it will be posted on council's website. No other recording is permitted unless you get the panel's prior approval. Can you please put your mobile phone on silent? Each speaker, other than the applicant and the owner, has 4 minutes. The applicant, the owner, and their representatives have in total 15 minutes. Olivia from Council will be monitoring the time. After each presentation, should any of the panel has any questions, we will then ask you our questions. After all presentations have finished, I will close the meeting, and the panel will then decide on the four applications. Minutes of the panel's decision will be available on Council's website by Friday. Let's get started. Apologies if I mispronounce your name. I will try to get it right. Our first speaker is for item one, Patrick McInerney. McInerney, sorry, Patrick. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me here. Today we are looking at opening a brewery in Camden. It's a fantastic site for our business, and I think it will be a wonderful place for the community to enjoy our business as well, and also see how the production of beer is made, and it's very much a community minded. I've been running a business in St. Peter's in the middle of a residential zone in 75 Mary Street, St. Peter's, for the last 12 years, and we work incredibly well with our community. Our community is very much a part of our business, and we support them as much as they strongly support us, and we hope to bring that culture to our business in Camden.
Thank you, Patrick. Panel members, any questions for Patrick?
I don't have any. No, I do. Hi, Patrick. I'm so interested in, so we had a look, Ben showed us around, we had a look at the site today, in where the VATs are going to be, just in terms of land use risk and how the VATs work. Is there any design specifications around the VATs? Because I'm new to this, I'm interested are there any particular requirements that you've had to either build in on the VATs or any other process in the actual brewing process, whether they have any, whether there's any gases or heating or any other, any other side, not effects, but I guess, yeah, anything that's going to affect the type of building that needs to be placed in or design requirements?
Sure. Look, the fermenters that we use, we use two types. There are fermenters and bright tanks. Obviously, they hold pressure, but they're designed to under a very strict Australian food standards and manufacturing standards. In terms of any requirements or special needs, it's purely height. They're very solid. If you've been to a winery and you've seen, they're not dissimilar to what you would see at a winery. Actually, they're exactly the same vessel as what you would see at a winery, perhaps, probably, though, in our case, a lot smaller.
Yeah, so what I mean, having been to a few microbreweries, I've noticed that sometimes they've got, is it siking or some other, is there any thermal requirements for the roof that's going to affect the, noting that this is a heritage building, it's going to be retrofitted, so hence my area of interest.
I understand. It's basically, there is a... during the fermentation process, the beer needs to be kept at temperature and a constant temperature, so there is a glycol or a refrigeration unit running to it. That is pretty much hidden within the production of the facility. It's a very, very small, like I'm talking like a 2 millimetre gap in the fermenters where the glycol runs through to keep everything at temperature.
Just one question I've asked. How does the retail side work with this business, like similar to a bottle shop? Like obviously people come in and taste the various beers, have a feed, blah, blah, blah. But if they want to purchase?
Yes, so we have a producer wholesale licence, and that's what we will be operating under. It is fairly regulated under the Liquor Licensing Act. So people can come in, they can come in and buy beer from the fridge, or they can sit at the bar and sample our beers. So it's a bottle shop, and it can be a bottle shop, but it also can be a place to bring the family to enjoy some beer and food.
I have one question as well, Patrick. In terms of odours, how will they be managed?
The owners?
Odour.
Oh, the odour. Look, the odour from a brewery, one should be quite pleasant and incredibly minimal. We have a production facility directly adjacent to residential properties in St. Peter's. And the odour is basically managed inside the brewery in 12 years not had a complaint. And it will be managed exactly the same way.
Thank you. Nothing else from Patrick? Okay. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Benjamin Young. Hi, Benjamin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to the panel members for taking the time to allow me to show you around the site today and sort of grasp the concept of it. Thanks, Pat, for making yourself available, because the panel members, I thought you might have had some technical questions that I was unable to answer. As I said to you on site, I'm here to represent the Fuller family who are local to the Camden region. And as you can see from the work that is being undertaken on site, particularly since the fire in 2021, they're really committed to making sure that site remains operable and functional for the town of Camden. Working with the council staff here, it's been a very thorough and detailed assessment, as you can probably see. They also gave us the opportunity to review the report and the conditions prior to the panel hearing, and that enables that, continuity of operational, where sometimes, as you'd be aware, you can inadvertently get a condition where it's intended well, but it's not practical. We're very happy with the report that's been prepared and the thoroughness, particularly from the health team. There was a few RFIs there, and as we spoke about on site, Brewtick are an expert and a specialist in providing that technical and health expertise in responding to council. Look, I think it's a terrific adaptive reuse for that building. It maintains the same form, and it brings a new life to that type of building, which I think can be enjoyed for members of, from children through to elderly members, families, groups, local businesses. So I think it's very complementary to the restaurant that's undergoing that refurbishment at the moment as well. And it means that the entire premise there on the corner is fully occupied. So we've enjoyed working with Southern Highlands Brewing. They've got as Pat said, an operational facility in a very dense area in St. Peter's. I think they've run that for about 10 or 12 years now. We think they're the right partner to have on that site as well, and they've been very forthcoming with information like that you've just asked to allow us to provide that to council. So look, we hope that you have the same view that I do, that it's a very detailed and thorough assessment and an appropriate adaptive reuse, and we hope to move forward on that basis and reinvigorate that building to a new life. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Benjamin. Any questions for Benjamin?
Well, I've got two, but one was interesting in the application. I think in the noise report is that you weren't. I think we're trying to work out the music or the music requirements seem to be saying that there would be no or limiting music, like sort of live music. I think that was what it was saying. Which was interesting because it is a commercial area. So wondering if it was from experience, maybe from Patrick's experience, is limiting music. Is that something you want to do, or obviously it's in the application? Leading you into other.
No.
I was just curious because it was sort of opposite was what I was expecting to read, sort of thing.
Yeah. Look, I think we were also cognizant of the town centre and the proximity to other things, albeit there's a technical assessment there from an appropriate acoustic engineer. As a result of our site meeting this morning, I did ask Patrick to confirm their intentions, and I know he's finished speaking, but the intention is that any live music would be sort of subtle background music. It's not running through till midnight as a rock concert or anything like that. And the peak trading hours, we spoke about operational and trading hours. Obviously, the brewing function runs all the time because that glycogen and the fermenting. But staff really are mainly in the morning, so they're arriving from 6 and they'll sort of do their functional brewing, whatever that is, physical work, through the early parts of the day, so normal general business hours. But patronage, albeit the microbrewery license allows you to trade from 10, the intention is that it wouldn't really be opening till 12, so maybe 11:30, 12 is when patrons at the earliest would come in. And music would typically be from that mid-afternoon into early evening. And I think that would be responsive to the clientele. You know, what are they looking for? What is being deemed to be acceptable within the community? So as Pat said, he likes to work with the community, and if there's more demand for music, then I think they'd like that ability. But if the music's causing an undue effect, then they will, you know, manage that appropriately.
So I guess if you're talking about music, no, I don't want to labour the point because I'm all for music in venues. You would be talking about like someone guitar music or, you know, background music like that.
Can I defer to Pat?
I should have asked that before. Yeah. Do you have it at St. Peter's?
Yeah, sure. I think it would be predominantly an acoustic duo is what you would normally see at a pub on a Sunday afternoon between 3 and 6. Mm-hmm. It's really for the families. I mean, at the moment, in terms of music, and I can only refer to, just to use an example of our current operation, on a Sunday, we might have music from 3 till 6 p.m. because predominantly our clientele is local families and our local community.
So you wouldn't really want a condition that limits that, though?
I don't know.
No, yeah.
No, we wouldn't want the condition, but we would accept that if council wanted to impose that, we can work with what's being put forward because we want to be responsible with the community and respond to that. So we're slightly agnostic, but our preference would be no condition and strong operational practices.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got one more. I know that you've got the food and the restaurant. Is there any consideration of other food offerings, or that the food license limits. I mean, I think you don't really need it, but I'm just curious because I know some microbreweries like to bring in a food cart and other a barbecue.
The kitchen, there is a kitchen design that is solely within the premise, and that's a requirement under OLGA for the licensing. Say that restaurant wasn't able to trade, you know, the restaurateur had an incident, whatever happened. We couldn't under license want to be wholly reliant upon a third party for the brewery to be able to trade legally and to service their clientele to an appropriate fashion. So any relationship with neighbouring businesses are in addition to the requirements for the brewery to be able to trade both legally and functionally on their own.
I don't have any questions either.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to come to site today. I think it puts everything in a lot more context, and I think your questions are very valid too, so hopefully we're able to answer anything you had to say. Thank you.
That was our last speaker. So thanks again, Patrick and Benjamin, for your time and your presentation. As there's nothing else to discuss, I will now close the meeting. The panel will then deliberate on the four applications. Have a wonderful afternoon. See ya.